Oh, yeah. Today's scripture is Psalm 30, Joys Come with the Morning, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Excuse me. Sing praises to the Lord, O ye his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry to the Lord, I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let us pray again. Father God, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for Pastor Tim, Lord. I truly don't think you can find another individual that loves you more than he does. Father, we just pray that you send your word to him. Let him be your mouthpiece in this service, and to bring to us your word and your glory, and to give us the wisdom that we need to go on and carry on through our lives the way that you want. Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kenny. All right. Next week, Dottie will be singing. All right. Well, good morning again. Again. All right. You know, today's message is... You might think, why do we need to hear this? Joy? Is it always smiles and laughter? Of course not. But you know, down through the years, I think I've thought this and said to people and heard other preachers say this, that if you're not rejoicing, something's wrong with you. Just smile. Just rejoice. God's coming. God loves you. You're saved. Rejoice. Laugh. Smile. Let me ask you a question. Is joy always smiles and laughter? Is joy always smiles and laughter? There's a word in our language that came from a book written in the 1500s, a book entitled maybe Utopia. It was an imaginary island describing perfection in everything. The law and politics, we know that's a lie, right? Okay. It's an ideal place of state, a visionary system of political or social perfection, utopia. Related words in the thesaurus are bliss, dreamland, fairyland, heaven, Eden, perfection, or wonderland. Here's a song you'll recognize. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans we've made walking in a winter wonderland, utopia. Everything is so beautiful and everything is so great. We're just going to dream by the fire and we're going to courageously move on because it is a wonderland. Or how about this favorite? Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Do you know when Adam sinned, he ruined all those Christmas songs, didn't he? When Adam sinned, he plunged the entire world at that time and from that time on into a curse. So there was an absolute guarantee that there would be no utopia down here. There is no fairyland, wonderland, dreamland, bliss, perfection, no Eden down here. Absolute guarantee until Christ returns. And while we're thankful for the blessings that God gives to us, which causes us some of the things we've seen in the last several weeks about joy in this Christmas season, to sing aloud, to speak aloud, to shout with joy, to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain with gusto. That was our community group lesson today, right? It's our group lesson. There are those times when it's just joyful and the new baby's born, or you got the job, or you got a good bill of health, or your kids are doing well, or the food at dinner came out okay, or whatever it is. There's all those little things of joy that we can sing and speak aloud and praise God and go to work with a bounce in our step and come home and greet your husband or wife with a big, fat, juicy kiss. And there's those great times in life where you're driving around looking at Christmas lights and you're hearing your little one-year-old plus however old he is. Ooh. There are those times that God gives us. So are we sinning if we're not experiencing joy? We've seen over and over. The Bible says rejoice, 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 rejoice. Have joy. Shout to God with praises. Well, I have news for you today. While we are thankful for the blessings that God gives, and we ought to sing and praise God and have those times in our life, we're living in a dream world, a fantasy world, if we think we'll always be laughing and always be smiling and always be walking with a bounce in our step, always upbeat, always interjecting, energetic, never experiencing a broken heart, never experiencing a disappointment, never just having those days where we just don't want to move ahead and do a thing. There is no utopia down here. We have crushing brokenness that come into our life. We have disappointments. We have just sometimes days we don't want to even get out of bed. So the question is this: is there joy during those times when we're not smiling, laughing, rejoicing, and singing with gusto? Are you sinning? Are you sinning? Are you missing the secret? Everybody else seems to get it, but are you missing it? How come I'm not laughing today? How come I'm not smiling today, or whatever day is in your life? You know, your life may be falling apart all around you. And you may be experiencing sadness and tears and heartache and brokenness. So some more questions are this: does joy only express itself in song? Does joy only express itself in shouts of praise? Does joy stop when troubles start? Does joy just stop when troubles start? Does God expect us to stand up at the funeral of our loved one and tell everyone how thankful and joyful we are that the person's dead? Well, all those verses that say, rejoice, 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 sing, shout aloud his praise, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice evermore in Thessalonians. Does God expect us to go out and eat and celebrate with joy when we've just been told we've got terminal cancer? How would you like your steak? Hey, by the way, I'm dying. I'd like it medium rare. I'm rejoicing. Is that what it means? Does God expect us to laugh and smile and throw a party when our children or a relative or a friend is going through a really hard time? Is that joy? When we grasp the horrible spiritual conditions of the world around us, do we say, oh, well, at least I'm saved? Oh, well, at least I'm saved. So here is another question. Is it okay to be sad, burdened, broken, and hurting? Are we sinning when we're sad, broken, hurting? Because the Bible tells us over and over again, rejoice. We've seen it in the last 3 weeks. Where does this fit in? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord always? You know, joy is not always loud shouts. Joy is not always triumphant singing or walking in a wonderland or smiles and laughter. But joy can be your reality and mine. And normally, you know, we just start in a book and go through this series. This has been a little bit different series, so I just throw a bunch of different verses out at you. So I want to quote a part of Romans 12:12, just three words. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. There may be times that God brings in our life when all you and I can do is rejoice in hope. What is hope? It's a future confident in our God that he knows what he's doing. He's going to do what he said when he said he did it, as much as he said he'll give to us in his perfect plan. And we simply rejoice in hope, even though right now there may be brokenness, hurting, crushed heart, however you want to describe it, sad, a day where you feel blue. Maybe you're having a blue Christmas. Thank you, Elvis. So as I thought of Scripture, I came up with some very practical things today, which all start with, we rejoice in hope when, and here's the first one, when life in a fallen world happens, right? We rejoice in hope when life in a fallen world happens. There is no utopia down here. There will be perfection one day when the perfect one returns. And redemption is fully complete and all sin and evil is put down. But for now, our world is a bunch of heartaches. It's heartaches. I was called to a nursing home the night before Thanksgiving, and a lady had died, and I met the man inside the nursing home, who one of the employees, and he said, well, I knew it would probably happen tonight. So I said, well, what are you talking about? What's going on? He said, 5 years ago tonight, my phone rang, and I got a call that my wife had died unexpectedly. I bet he was in his late 40s. So I assume she was probably near the same age. On this very date, my wife died 5 years ago. And now this death in the nursing home has just, I was thinking about it already, but it just brought it to light. That's what life is it not? And death does not care if it's Thanksgiving, and death does not care if it's December. Death and the grave is never satisfied. So there's heartaches and there's burdens and there's disappointments and failures and crushing defeats and tears and there's pain. Paul talked about this all the time. This is what our fallen world brings. It brings separation. In Acts 20, Paul brought the elders together and it says there was a whole lot of weeping and they were sorrowful and because they would never see his face again. He was telling them, I'm leaving, going because God has called me somewhere else. And they were brokenhearted, separating from those that he loved. There's hatred and attacks that we face. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, why would anyone hate that guy, right? Why would anyone want to do anything to hurt me, right? Y'all do that, you know? I mean, just look at yourself in the mirror. Aren't we lovable and just like big teddy bears? Well, Paul was hated in Acts 20, 19 and 29 to 30. He said, I want to share with you with tears the trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Verse 29, you all be careful. Fierce wolves are going to come in among you. Men will arise. They'll speak twisted things to draw you away from Jesus and to make disciples after them. There's just hatred. There's just attacks against people. There's afflictions. Have you ever afflicted? Is there ever a day when everything goes perfect? I mean, Lord, just one day. The Lord says, rejoice in hope. There is coming that day. Paul talked about that in Acts 20, 23. He said, I'm going where the Holy Spirit is sending me, but in every city that I'm going to, there's imprisonment and afflictions are waiting me. That's a part of the child of God's life, afflictions and imprisonment. What about failures? Wouldn't you like to do without your own failures? In this fallen world that we live in, anybody in here never fail? You just never make a mistake. few months ago, I was pushing the gurney and I had to lower it. And if you do it by yourself, there's a specific way that you do it. And for 2 years, I never did it wrong. Well, that night I hit the wrong button and that lady, boom, she went down on her head. And I went, holy moly, good thing she's dead already. Sorry. Oh, thankfully the family wasn't there. Now, the people that trained me said, you're going to do it eventually. Oh, I'll never do it. Goodness gracious. I felt like an idiot. Failures, failures, failures. Do you remember Peter? Did he not fail? Three times in Matthew 26. He denied it, saying, I don't know what you mean. Again, he denied it with an oath. Thirdly, with bringing down cursings and swearings. I do not know this man. Remember what happened when Peter left that situation after he heard the cock crow? He went out and wept bitterly. By the way, whom did God use after the resurrection in an amazing way? Peter? This guy that failed? Failed. Fallen world's full of failures. How about death? Death. I know some of you have experienced death in your loved ones in December. Death, perhaps one of the most difficult things we face. It's so difficult that I see people all the time come in high and loaded on something because they simply cannot handle it. And that's because they don't have a God. A God who says, here I am, here I am. But it's amazing. Oh, you can smell it on them, you can watch them. I talked to a lady this week whose husband died, did his funeral. And I'm talking with her and she just nodded off. She was heavily drugged. See it all the time. You know what? Isn't death a part of a fallen world? What did God tell Adam and Eve? In dying, you will die. So how do we rejoice? Listen to what Jesus, John chapter 11, 33 to 35. Jesus knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, doesn't he? He knows it. And he specifically stayed away a couple days to show who he was. So he shows up with this crowd, and they're all going to see an amazing miracle. Now, if I'm walking up to a funeral and I'm going to raise this guy up, that's pretty awesome. Raise up. Rejoice. But listen to what Jesus did. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. So picture this. Lazarus is dead. Their hearts are broken. They're not singing. They're not shouting God's praises. They're not dancing. They're not turning somersaults. They're weeping. Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit, and he was greatly troubled. Whoa, 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 whoa. You mean to tell me the source of joy, the giver of joy, 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 he is joy. What's he doing right here? He's weeping. And he is not just troubled. He is greatly troubled, and he knows he's going to raise him up. So he says, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And what's the next two words? Jesus wept. So we're learning right now that life in the fallen world happens, but here is the giver of joy, the source of joy, and he's not dancing and he's not singing. He's not turning flips. He's not shouting his father's praise right now. He is broken in his heart and he is crying. But wait a minute. He's joy, right? You mean both are a reality? All right. Go with me on this. Rejoice in hope. Second thing. We rejoice in hope when we grasp the spiritual condition of those around us. So we look at those around us. So we sing and we praise God because they're dying without Christ. I never forget somebody who used to, not in our church, but he used to amen a lot and shout. And I remember sometimes a preacher would say, and the whole world's going to hell. Amen. Wait a minute. Does an amen fit there? I don't think an amen fits there. No, we don't shout amen in a joyful sense. We really don't feel like singing and smiling and laughing and dancing when God gives us a glimpse of those we work with, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our loved ones, our co-workers. When God gives us those glimpses, when we look at them and we realize they're lost. They're lost. Listen to Jeremiah 8:18. Now, you know Jeremiah's story. He's called to preach to Israel, and he's preaching repentance, and he's preaching Babylon's coming, and Babylon's going to destroy you, overtake you because of your sin. The false prophet said, oh no, everything's fine. And they did a lot of terrible things to Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. But listen to what he wrote in Jeremiah 8:18. Now grab this truth. Jeremiah is exactly in God's will. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. He is following God obediently. Listen to what he writes, Jeremiah 8:18. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. You mean you can be exactly in God's will, doing exactly what God's called you to do, being obedient and facing dangers and being courageous, and this is your testimony? My joy is gone. Yes. Because now your joy is in hope in the future. Isaiah said something similar in Isaiah 24:11. He said, all joy has grown dark. And both of those individuals said those things because they got a glimpse of the world around them of rejecting God. So we can only rejoice in the hope of what God may do in their lives when he gives us a glimpse of the sinful world around us. We don't dance for joy that people are dying without Christ. I bring this verse up a lot in Luke 19. Here again is the source of joy, the perfect joy. In Luke 19, 41 to 44 says, he wept over the city, knowing the judgment that was coming. So here again is joy. And he's crying. And he's burdened. And he's weeping. Isn't it amazing? And he knows they're going to kill him in just a few days. Dancing, singing, and shouting is not always the normal behavior of joy. Nothing was wrong with Jesus. Nothing was wrong with Jeremiah. Nothing was wrong with Isaiah. I think our society is telling us if we ever feel blue, if we ever feel sad, if we ever feel down, depressed is the big word, if we ever feel those things, there's something wrong with us and we better run to our doctor. And I believe we are missing what God is doing in our life. Now, should you go to a doctor? Yes, you should. You should always go to a doctor if you start feeling that way. You might have a tumor growing on your brain. You might have some weird things going on. But sometimes we miss it. I shouldn't feel this way. Maybe we should. And especially when God gives us the glimpse of those around us who are lost. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, my heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they be saved. That's his burdened hope. So we rejoice in hope. We may be crying, we may be weeping over the city, over our family, over our friends, over our neighbors, over our co-workers. We may be broken inside. Our sorrow may be growing deep. Our joy may grow dark. Our heart may be sick, like Jeremiah said, but we still rejoice in hope. Thirdly, we rejoice in hope when we know the past cannot be changed. Wouldn't you love to change the past? I'd have started using Rogaine back in the 90s. Wouldn't you love to change the past? You know, every one of us today has something in common, don't we? We all have a past. If I said, how many of you have a past and you didn't raise your hand, we might go slap you and wake you up. All of us have a past. All of us have things we wish we could erase. Boy, if I could erase that. If I could have changed that decision. And sometimes those things in our past we can repent of. We can say, God, forgive me, I have sinned. We can tell others we've sinned against them and we ask them for forgiveness. But sometimes the effects of what we did continues, do they not? I mean, I can run over your dog because I'm careless and say, oh, I'm so sorry, forgive me, but your dog is still dead, right? So spiritually, God may have forgiven us and cleansed us and put us on a new path, and praise God, we shout for joy in that. But maybe our past is full of stuff that we cannot change, and that may go with us every day, the rest of our life. So we better learn to rejoice in hope when we know we cannot go into this time machine and change the past. You know, Paul fought this, did he not? What was Paul always saying in his testimony? I was a persecutor of the church. He was always sharing who I was. I was a zealous Pharisee, and I thought I was serving God. I persecuted the church. I consented to the death of the saints. And I've often thought of this as he went and started churches and met the believers. I would almost guarantee that he probably met people whom he threw their husband or wife in jail and had them killed. I think he probably met people like that all the time. So Paul had a past. He had to live with that. The persecution of the church. There's a book in the Bible called Ezra. Did you know that? Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. That section of the Bible. And remember, Solomon's first temple was absolutely glorious. It was just unbelievable. Well, judgment came, as Jeremiah predicted. And of course, the temple was destroyed. So now as God's people was starting to come back through God's plan, they had remnants go back to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the temple. So they're at the dedication here of the foundation of this new temple. But the problem was there were some old folks around who saw the first one. Listen to these, Ezra chapter 3. Here's this big celebration, joyous occasion. Many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid. Though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. So notice that. You've got the younger ones who are seeing what God is doing, and they're shouting and praising, God's at work. They probably wrote a song, God's at work, God's at work, it's so wonderful, it's God's at work. But you got the old folks, you know, who are being wheeled in on their wheelchairs or whatever, and they saw Solomon's glorious temple where the ark was and God's glory was. And in this temple, there was no ark and there was no God's glory. Remember the word Ichabod? God said, I'm departing from you because of all this sin. And these older folks who saw what God had done in the past were weeping their hearts out because it wasn't anything like it used to be. Wow. Can't change the past, can you? So how do we rejoice when that happens? It's interesting, though, in the book of Haggai, these old folks get rebuked. So if you're an old folks today, let's get ready to rebuke us. Right? Haggai asked this question, Haggai 2:3. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? Before sin, before failure, before tragedy, before judgment. How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? You see, those old folks weren't wrong. A little bit. They couldn't help it. But listen to verse 4. Here is the counsel. Yet, now, be strong. O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for now I am with you, declares the Lord of the armies, the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you. And later on in that passage, it says, you be busy because I am going to fill this house with glory like never before. And who would that be? Jesus. So here is a hard situation. Maybe some of you older folks remember when churches were just seemingly filled with people and church and God's work was the priority of their life. I remember my dad coming home from work and going out to the church building seemingly every night just to work. He put in his 8-9 hours, and then he got home, ate some meatloaf, and then went to work in the building and did serve God. Deacons means whatever it was. I remember him, I think it was Monday night, doing the treasury stuff in the office. You know, after whatever that meal was, going into his office and working on the treasury bills. Some of you can remember where it seemed like it was the priority of God's people. Today, it's not the priority of God's people. Volleyball, baseball, basketball, book weaving. Boy, if you can book a weave, if you can weave a book, you're pretty sharp. You know, whatever. Everything takes priority from God's people. Hey, we got to get together with God's people. Let me check my calendar. Oh, no, I decided to mow my lawn that day. I just can't make it. And some of you older folks, or maybe some of you middle older folks, may remember, like when I was a kid, I remember being a kid and it was visitation night. And I bet there were 50 or 60 men in that little chapel getting ready to go out to homes. We were in a church of 800 people. And some men got together on Saturday nights to pray. And I think only 6 or 7 have showed up out of 800 people. So what do we do? Times are hard. We rejoice in hope when we cannot change the past. You know what, class? It may never be what it used to be. You know, Scott, you probably remember some of those same things I just shared in the same church. It may never be in our life. Now, you go to a larger church if you want, but the hearts sometimes are different. So we rejoice in hope. So we do what Haggai said. Be strong. God is still working. I have to be honest. Sometimes I pray, God, are you still working? Anybody else pray that? I do. Do you still change lives? Do you still save people today? God says, yes. Don't quit. You stay strong. Rejoice in hope. All right, moving on. Four. When we are being grown by God's hand, rejoice in hope. So when you're really going through suffering, you get up and you laugh and you dance, right? And you do the laundry with a smile on your face. And, you know, you go outside and let the dog out when it's 20 below zero and just have a wonderful time. You know, you're just singing. You call people on the phone and, hey, how you doing today? I'm having a horrible day. I'm suffering. I've got terminal cancer. My dog was killed last night. Heat went out. The shower's got cold water. But I'm just wonderful. How are you doing? Hardships are called hardships for a reason, right? Because you're in a ship and it's hard. And you're sailing somewhere. Something was in that coffee. I'm not sure what it was. And pain is hard. And when we are being grown by God's hand, we're not always laughing, smiling, and doing a skip, right? Skipping. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5, 6, and 11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines or spanks the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. Verse 11. Listen to this. For the moment of what? Verse 6, when he's spanking you, all discipline seems painful. You remember spankings? Any of you, here, Dad, lay it on me, all right? I love the way it feels. Oh, discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, hope, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So right there it is. It's hard when God is growing us. He says it. There's pain. You remember James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's not, you know, laughing and smiling. It's rejoicing in hope because God is doing something in my life that I never would grow unless he did it. Romans 5:3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and then endurance produces So God is growing us. And he says, rejoice because you know the hope of what I'm doing in your life. Colossians 1:11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Ah, patience with joy. Do you like being patient? I hate going to the store. 40 checkout lanes, 2 people. 10 checkout lanes, 1 person. One night, 40 checkout lanes, no people. Just go to our automatic one. Beep, beep. Patience. And every time I'm late, some little old lady. That's all you can see, her hands on the steering wheel. Rah, 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 you know. Get out of my way. You know. Patience. All of us hate patience. Most of us. Unless they're in the hospital. Joy. Strengthened with power. It is not pleasant when God grows us. It hurts. And I don't know if this is true, but you take your kids, I hurt. Well, you're growing. Is that true? Do you really have pain when you grow? Do you? You nurses or you non-nurses know that? Yeah. Pally's our new nurse, okay?
I had lots of kids.
You had lots of kids. I mean, you wake up, my knee is growing. Goodness, it hurts, you know? But I guess so. Growing brings pain. I guess if you're being stretched and stuff, you know. You know, wow, yesterday I was 5'8", now I'm 6'4". I need some new pants. And I think the problem with this is we live in a society that can take away all pain. We do. We live in a society where there are things you can get that can take away your pain. And I think sometimes, A, it is necessary. But I think sometimes we maybe miss what God is doing because we hate pain. Anybody love to suffer? I mean, anybody love to? No. And it's so easy in our society to find a way to take away pain. There was a lady in our church I pastored a while back. And she was coming with her husband and family faithfully. It seemed like, you know, wow, she was energetic. God was moving in her life. Until I told her that the Bible said she needed to be baptized by immersion. That was the Bible way. Romans 6 talks about the reason for that. It is being buried with Christ, being raised with him, walking in newness of life. It shows I belong to Jesus. No, I can't do that. Oh, it tore her up. This lady went to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist told her that she should remove all things painful from her life and she should never come to that church again, and she never came back. But it was God working in her heart. But Mr. Perfect Expert Doctorate Psychiatrist sent her down a sinful, horrible path. So sad. So sad. God is pruning us and growing us and breaking us away from our sins and our stubbornness. And he's showing us things that we cannot see to make us like his son. And in these times, the scriptures say, we're not singing and dancing. It's hard. It's painful. But we still have joy in hope. What God's going to produce in little old me and little old you. The next ones are real quick, so hang on. Number 5. We rejoice in hope when we know the fullness of joy comes later. We want it now, don't we? Don't we want it now? I do. I want it now. I mean, popping the popcorn in the microwave for 2 minutes and 25 seconds is too long. You know, we want it, right? It may be. It might burn your popcorn. We want it now. When suffering and burdened, we want it over now. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evils against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. You're being attacked down here for the gospel, but you can rejoice in hope because your reward is not just in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. Wow, isn't that awesome? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I must have not printed that one out. Why didn't I print that out? Well, I'll turn there. I have a Bible. Hebrews 12, 2. So we don't want to pass this one. Talking about Hebrews 11, all these people that walked by faith, someone were gloriously delivered, some were cut in half, some were killed, some were kicked out of their towns. It's up to God what he decides, but we're still to be faithful. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the what? The joy that was set where? Before him. Endured the cross. He despised the shame. And today is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So here is Jesus, who knows that the fullness of joy comes later, endures and continues and is faithful because he knows one day he's going to be seated at the right hand of God. So he doesn't quit. He rejoices in hope. Do you remember what Jesus said in his prayer? He said, oh God, I'd love to have the glory with you that we had before the world began. Even Jesus longed to be away from this earth, to be back the way it was. Isn't that amazing? That was a holy longing. You know, sometimes in our lives, I think we may never experience the fullness of joy until that day, whichever it is, or ever. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't get it until what? He rose from the dead and went back to the Father. And in fact, if you look at all the accounts of the crucifixion, wow, he still endured. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the very last one, we rejoice in hope when we grasp that Jesus is all we need. Have you learned that lesson yet? I'd like to say I'm learning it. Remember Habakkuk? Habakkuk was ticked off because Babylon was coming to destroy Jerusalem. And he didn't get it. He didn't understand it. And he said, God, this is not right. And that whole book is God and him working through this. But when he got to the last chapter, he said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Isn't that amazing? Nothing was going to change. Nothing. And so he knew that God was all he needed. Psalm 27:10, David said, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. What I think he's saying there is, when the people closest to me give up on me, I know I still have him. I will rejoice in hope. And how can we do this? Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never give you up. So we rejoice in hope when maybe everything is taken away from us. Nothing seems to work out how we think it should work out. It just seems like trouble, 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 trouble. All River City got trouble, right? And it's more than just a game of pool, if you know what I'm talking about. It's difficult and it's hard. And God may be just trying to get us right there. I am all you need. And we'll never get there without troubles, trials, and heartaches. But we can still rejoice in hope. All right, let's land this hope train or hope plane, whichever it is. Again, it is not expressed always in singing and laughter and dancing. And I'm thankful for those times, aren't you? Go tell it on the mountain. There you go. I danced there, Dottie, for you. That's it. I'm not picking on you anymore. Yeah, okay. Sometimes there are those joyous times where there's just, You're beaming and God is doing amazing things and thankful for those times, right? Thankful for the verse that says, if need be, you go through many trials. Not all the time. But I think it's important for us to grasp that if we are experiencing some blue feelings and some burdens, and it doesn't necessarily mean we're crazy or we're clinically depressed. It may be right where God wants us. And our heart is working fine. And our emotions are working just perfectly. I think that's important for us to grasp. Nothing wrong with you, maybe. I mean, look what Jeremiah said again. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. That's a part of the Christian life. So while the exuberant dancing, singing joy may be gone, there still was a deep, abiding rejoicing in hope, because God's in control. We're going to talk about that next week. So what do you do if your joy is gone like this? The singing, dancing? Check your life. Is there sin there? If there is sin, confess and repent. The only hope for a lost sinner is Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to save your soul. If you are a believer and your joy being gone is from a trial, a past you can't change, the hardships of life, a joy that'll come fully in the future. When you look at the spiritual condition of those around you, the state of the church even, the state of the world, or God is stretching you beyond what you think you could ever be stretched, rejoice in hope. Jesus died, buried, rose again, is coming again. That's our hope. This is not the end. There's no utopia down here until Jesus Christ comes. And I love this last verse, which I think is really in the context of troubles and sin. And Kenny read it earlier. His anger is but for a moment. Sometimes God spanks us because we've sinned. Sometimes he spanks us because he's stretching us. But his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. An eternal lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night. Sometimes our joy is weeping, heartache, sadness. But joy comes with the morning. Because God is there, and it's a hope in the future. So this week and the weeks ahead and whenever in your life, if you begin to sense those burdens, go to God. Don't just dismiss it. What's he doing in your life? How's he stretching you? And realize that you just may not be nuts or crazy. There may be nothing wrong with you at all. It's simply God working in you. Let's pray. Father, really simple truth today, but it's amazing all through the scriptures that your faithful servants, even Jesus himself, the Son of God, wept, grieved, sorrowed. And the same Bible that calls us to shout for joy and to shout praises and to sing, to dance, the verse said it that was read earlier. You turned my mourning into dancing. It's the same Bible, the same author that tells us to rejoice in hope during the difficult, hard times. So God, work in our hearts. Help us to not waste what you're doing in our lives, to truly consider it all joy. Help us to not just say, oh, something must be wrong with me, or I got to make everything perfect down here before I can be happy. Help us to seek your face, to grow and change so that we can be used by you and to truly rejoice in hope. We pray this with thankful hearts in Christ's name. Amen.